Well, good morning, everybody. How are you this morning? Hope all you guys remembered it's Valentine's Day. I always remember this day as our granddaughter's birthday. So the first girl in our family was my first granddaughter because I just got boys. So I always remember this day, not as Valentine's Day anymore, but as my granddaughter's birthday. She's 10 today, right? Let's just open in prayer. Father, I just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, as your word goes forth today, Father, it just prospers whereunto it's sent. And Father, I just thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. I was just reading through my Bible and one day, 2 or 3 years ago, and in the book of Philemon, which probably you probably don't know where it is, it's go to Hebrews, turn back one page. And verse 6 of Philemon just popped out of the scripture on me. And I started studying it. And I'll just read it. I don't know if he puts the scriptures up there or not, but it says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The word sharing is fellowship. Effective means powerful. So how many want effective, powerful faith? It comes from knowing what Jesus has done in you. And if we don't have that understanding, I was raised in a church that was probably quite legalistic. And with that type of upbringing, there's a lot of guilt and condemnation preached. And how many know that can get in you? And it wasn't till quite late in my life that I realized that I'm forgiven. That Jesus bore the guilt and the shame. I don't have to. So when we understand what Jesus has done in us, then we have powerful and effective faith. So I'm just going to take you back in Genesis and give you a quick refresher of who we are and how God created us. Because if we don't understand, then we're going to forever be battling, especially a lot of Christians battle condemnation. They sin, and then they get condemned. And then they sin, and they get condemned. How many know Jesus set us free? Okay? So in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God says, "Let us make man in our image." So who are we made like? According to his likeness, we're made like God. We're like him. Okay? We're made in his likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing. So God created us to have dominion. He created us like him. In Genesis 5:1, it also says we're created in his likeness. But the verse I wanted to really key in on here is 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. God created man and everything else, and he said it was very good. Okay? So man in his original state was very good. Not just good, very good. And God created us. He created mankind to be very good. And Adam and Eve had fellowship. They walked and talked with God personally in the garden. They had open communication and open fellowship with God. Can you imagine in the Garden of Eden what it was like? The earth without no sin, harmony in nature. And how many know God's going to restore that one day? So the next thing we see that we see Satan coming on the scene in Genesis chapter 3, and I'm not going to go through the story. I just want to key in on a couple of verses here. Adam and Eve sinned, all right, and they fell. And they immediately became guilty, ashamed, and condemned. So the sin nature came into mankind at that time. So here comes God in verse 8. And they heard the sound of God walking in the garden and in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called Adam and said, "Where are you?" How many of you know God knew exactly where he was? So why did he ask the question? Because man didn't know where he was anymore. He lost his identity. He became sin conscious and had a sin nature from that point on. So every child born into the world is born with that sin nature. So when God showed up, there's Adam and Eve hiding in the bushes. And a lot of times we see it even in the young children, that they immediately try to cover, they try to hide. And I got a little video clip to show of my one grandson here this morning, if he wants to show it, just to show you how even the youngest children will try and hide. Can you play that?
Case, did you have yogurt in the fridge? You never had yogurt. You didn't have some yogurt? You weren't in the fridge. You never had no yogurt. Look at Grandma. What were you eating?
Nothing.
Nothing. No. Oh. What's all over your face then?
Yogurt.
Yeah, you just said you didn't have yogurt, but you did, right?
No.
No? Never had yogurt. What's on your face then?
Nothing.
Chase, did you...
Do you see what their problem was? We're born like that. How could a child at that age even know what he's doing? Right? We're born with the fallen nature that immediately tries to defend and cover. And how many know as a Christian, when you were born again, that nature's taken away? But a lot of the church is still living in that place. And what Paul said in Philemon, unless we come to understand who we are in Christ, a lot of times we're living with that sin-conscious nature. And the video, if you're in Sunday school, he touched on that, and I thought, well, he's going to share on the same thing I'm sharing this morning. He touched on the sin nature there a little bit. So we come with that sin nature. So where do we go? Who do we look to? And who do we listen to in the Word of God in this day and age? You know, you preach on healing, someone will bring up Job. You preach on this, someone will bring up who are we supposed to listen to? Who's speaking to the end time church? All right? If you flip into John chapter 14, in John chapter 14, Jesus had told his disciples that he was leaving. And Philip said in verse 8, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." So how can you say, "Show us the Father"? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me, and the words that I speak to you are not my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me? So Jesus is saying, I'm in the Father, he's in me. All right? So we see in another place in John, I didn't write down all the scriptures, they asked Jesus who he was, and he said, "I am that I am." What is he saying? That's saying I'm God. That's who Jesus claimed to be, and that's who he said he was. All right? So then in the book of Hebrews, I'm just establishing who we're to listen to in this day and age. And in Hebrews chapter 1, I'm giving you lots of scripture, as people will tell you. That's what I usually do. But if you look here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, God at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Get that? Times past. Okay? But in these last days, when to us has spoken to us by his Son. Okay? Times past, the prophets, today the Son. So I model my life on what Jesus says. Because he came to show us the Father. He came to manifest the Father to us. He came to show us who Jesus is and who Jesus is to us today. So when you look at the scripture and you read the scripture, hear Jesus. Because he is manifesting himself to us. And he's the one we're hearing today. So what did Jesus do? In Acts 10:38, it says, Jesus went around doing good, healing the sick, and destroying the works of the devil. That's what Jesus did. Okay? And so you look at the ministry of Jesus. Okay? When the woman was taken in adultery and thrown at his feet, what did he do? He said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. So you see, with sin, Jesus has paid the price. In fact, in Colossians 2:14, it said, all the handwriting ordinances that were against you, he nailed to the cross. He took them completely out of the way. Guess what? I'm totally forgiven. I'm totally forgiven. And if we understand, you know, that God totally loves you, we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, but I find that most of the Christians don't get the this I know. Because they're still hanging on to stuff. And they approach God not in reverence, but they approach a lot of times bowed under guilt and condemnation. When in Hebrews it says, come boldly to the throne. See? The sin consciousness will actually push you away from God. Because you feel like Adam and Eve in the garden and you're hiding in the bushes. We're not to hide our light under the bushes, right? Or the bushel, Jesus said. But when you, you know, I get that. For I was raised in church and I sang Jesus Loves Me from the time I was a kid. My dad told me a story one time on his 90th birthday. We were all around there. He's having his birthday. And so he started talking and telling stories. And he said, one time, Brent, when you were 10 months old, I come from a family of 13 kids. I was number 11. He said, we got home and we were missing you. So we had to go back and get the church opened up, and there were you sleeping right on the pew where we left you. And mother sister piped up, that's why he's a preacher. He left him in church. But it's just interesting. So God has spoken to us by his Son. So we need to listen to what he's saying. Run whatever you hear by Jesus. Okay? How many of that will make your doctrine a lot simpler? Okay? I don't have to be under guilt, shame, and condemnation because he's paid the price. When I go to the cross and ask for forgiveness, how many know it's done? I don't have to carry it anymore. But for years, I would do something wrong and then Satan comes along and beats you up with condemnation. How many know when you ask, God forgives? And forgets, and is done. Okay? So I'm just going to take you into, I'm getting around a little this morning. I believe God wanted me to share this. In Romans chapter, I'm just going to touch on four chapters in Romans just briefly, and you'll have to go home and study it because I'm going to be quick. But in Romans chapter 5, it's about the justification by faith, okay? So it's about life. Romans chapter 5 is about life. Justification means God has completely acquitted you of every wrongdoing as a child of God. I don't care what you've done. When you invited Jesus to be Lord of your life, he has forgiven you. Is that a license to sin? No, because if you love God, you don't want to because it hurts him. Okay? It hurts him. So Romans 5 is about justification. Okay? And you'll have to read that. Romans 6 is about death. It's about being baptized. Okay? And if you... In verse 10 it says, "For the death he died for sin once and for all, that the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust." Verse 14, "Sin should not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." So you see, when I was baptized, the symbol of baptism is when you go down, is you're dead like Jesus was in the grave. You're risen into a new man. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all have become new." Verse 21 says, "He was made to be sin who knew no sin, that you may be made the righteousness of God." So that means in God's sight, you look like Jesus. Because he's looking at you through Jesus. You're completely forgiven. So when Satan brings up your past, bring up his future. We're forgiven. Completely and totally. Don't allow that any of that stuff to come on you. Because you, when you understand the good that Jesus is in you, in Philemon, you'll have effective, powerful faith. And when you don't, you'll be bowed. Okay? So you go in, and it's amazing as I was studying this, my younger brother, he's a year and a half younger than me. We had in our family, there was groups of families. I'm one of the youngest. There's only two younger. And so me, and there was basically four people I grew up with, my older sister and two younger brothers. My older siblings were people that came home with their kids. That's just the way it is. Some of them are old enough, a lot of them are old enough to be my parents. So he gave me a call yesterday, and we just get into her because we're close. We've been close all our lives. So we got to discussing the scripture, and he brings up Romans 7, and lo and behold, I'm studying this. And you got to understand the context of Romans 7. A lot of guys will pull that out, but they forget 5, 6, and 8. And it's a letter Paul was writing, and they pick out the center. And Romans 7 is written to someone who is under the law and someone that's under guilt, shame, and condemnation from the law. All right? So if you look at it in verse 1, "Do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over them, as long as a man lives." Well, what did it say in Romans 6? It said you died. So guess what? You're not alive anymore. So the law has no dominion. Did you get that? And you go down through Romans 7, Paul says, "I end up doing all the things I don't want to do, and I do all this stuff," and people make doctrines on that and said, "You're never going to get over it, because look at Romans 7, but they forgot about 5 and 6. 5 says you're justified. 6 says you're dead. All right? So then Romans 7 should have no effect on you. He's saying those under the law are under guilt, shame, and condemnation, and they're forever struggling, and it's never ending, and it just goes round and round and round. I've been there. Some of you may have been there. But how many know we're free? Okay? So next time when you read Romans 7, you say, that doesn't apply to me. That applies to someone that's under the law and someone who has not went to the cross. And Paul's showing that. Okay? So then, I won't go through Romans 7. If you want to go home and read those 4, go for it. So Paul spoke, and he got to Romans 8. And he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death, he listed in Romans 7. You're free. So you don't have to be under it. Everybody pulls a boner once in a while. Get over it. Go to the cross and get it dealt with. Get up and get going. Because if we allow the sin consciousness that was you saw in little Chasey, we're born with that. Okay? We're born defending ourselves. We're born pointing at the neighbor. You know how you know you're free? When you do something wrong, just admit it and go for it. Hello? If you find yourself defensive, how many know there's still some of that stuff lurking in there that needs to go? Because that ain't who you are. John chapter 1 says he's the light that shone on the darkness. So when you come to the light, it sets you free actually from yourself. I don't have to defend myself anymore. I don't have to justify myself. Price has been paid. I don't have to. I'm free. See, God wants us free completely and totally. I'm just going to go into 3 John, and I'll just show you. John backs up what I'm preaching this morning, and in not 3 John, 1 John chapter 3. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. So if we're under guilt, shame, or condemnation, God already knows about it. He knows the cause and what happened. Okay? That means we don't have to be like Adam and Eve hiding in the bushes. We can just come boldly to God. All right? But look at the next verse. It says, and whatever, actually verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, faith. Remember Philemon? To have effective, powerful faith, you have to know what Jesus has done in you. Okay? Have to know it. To have effective, powerful faith, you have to know who you are in Christ. You have to know you're forgiven, that you can come boldly to the throne, that you can talk to Jesus. Remember I showed you, that's who we're supposed to be listening to? In this day and age, we're to listen to Jesus. Times past, prophets, now Jesus. Okay? So, when you're not condemned, you have confidence toward God. Look at the next verse. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. What's his commandment? To love. He said to his disciples, this is my commandment, to love. And you all heard the love scripture, and people that have heard me preach will know that I bring it up quite often. Hey, thanks, sweetheart. This is another one of my pretty granddaughters. So, she got my attention. Where was I? Anybody remember? Okay, love. Okay, the Bible says to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. How many, those of you that heard me preach, you be quiet. How many commandments are in that scripture? How many? Next. Anybody else? You're to love God, one. Everybody usually gets two. You're to love the neighbor. Who else are you supposed to love in that scripture? Three. If you don't know who you are in Christ, okay, and know how valuable you are to Him, I'll bring it this way. If you were going to go buy a vehicle, okay, and I had a 1968 piece of junk, you're not going to pay much for it, are you? Not much. What did God pay for you? What did He pay for you? He gave His life for you. Does that make you valuable in God's sight? Pretty much. The Bible says, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul. So in other words, one soul is worth more than the world. That's how much God loves you. Okay? So when you understand who you are in Christ, you know that you're loved by God. You can love yourself. But when you do that, then you can actually love somebody else. People that are under guilt and shame and condemnation, that's usually what comes out. Okay? But when you know who you are in Christ, you can love someone irregardless of what they did, irregardless of what they said. You may be upset, but guess what? The love of God will come through. You will be totally free. Do you understand what the church would be like if there was no offense? That everybody walked in the love of God? When you understand who you are in Christ, you can walk that way. And you'll walk free. How many know God wants the church free? I'm just going to finish up in Colossians chapter 2. I quoted it a bit ago here. But how many know you need to see it? In Colossians chapter 2. In verse 11 it says, in Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, which you are also raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven how many of your trespasses? All. Having wiped out the handwritten ordinances or requirements that was against us, which are contrary to us, He has taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. You understand? Everything that was against you when you choose to give your life to Jesus is gone. It's all gone. And we can walk free. We don't have to be carrying stuff. The price has been paid. You can lay it aside. If you're carrying any offense or hurt or anything against anyone, lay it aside. The love of God is in you. You can do it. I can cheer. You can do it. We cheer at hockey games. Why not in church, right? You can do it. You can overcome. No matter what has happened. God has made you as an overcomer. That's who you are. So no matter what you're facing today, if you don't know Jesus today, hey, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. He loves you. He paid the price for you. And he's good. He's not up there with a big stick waiting to whack you when you do something wrong. He's paid the price. You're free. Let's walk in our freedom. Let's allow Jesus to manifest through us to those around us. See, when you accept Jesus, you're on a starting point in your life. Okay? I had the title of this message, I never even shared it, was God's Character and Nature. You know what? God wants his character and nature to manifest through each of us. When you're born again and you're starting to grow, what is God doing? He's putting his character and his nature in you. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. He's putting the love nature that Adam and Eve lost in the garden back in you. And as you grow, he wants you to grow more and more into that love nature. And there's things you face in life, okay? There's things that you face in life, and you have a choice. Will I allow the love nature to flow through me, or I allow the sin nature to rise up, which is your flesh, basically? Will I retaliate against those that hurt me, or will I love them? Will I get offended over what someone did, or will I love them? You know, in James 5, where it teaches about healing, simple forgiveness will go a long way to healing. And it'll set you free. Let's pray. Father God, you see us here this morning. Father, that we would come to know who we are in you. Father, that was written in Philemon, when we understand who we are in Jesus, that we'll have effective, powerful faith. That we will understand that we have been completely forgiven. Father, that we will understand that the price has been completely paid in full. And Father, we will walk before you free. That we can come boldly to the throne of grace. That we're not out hiding in the bushes. That you paid the price so that we can have fellowship with you 24/7. And we don't have to be ridden with past sins. That we're forgiven. And we're free. And I thank you so much, Father, that you have forgiven me and I'm free. And Father, that each one that has invited you into their heart is growing into that love nature, being totally restored in them. And Father, that we walk in freedom. Thank you, Lord, that you are so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.